The computer is having trouble. We're getting a new computer soon. In the meantime, let's start. The people online will have to wait until the computer wakes up. Has a cup of coffee.
Dates in the back.
There are dates in the back.
This is a date your wife will agree. You can even take her on now.
Lamatzeach. Okay, literally, we're today Mizmor. We're starting today with Mizmor Yud Aleph, new Mizmor. Mizmor Yud Aleph. Lamatzeach le David b'Hashem Chasisi. Eich Toimru lenafshi Nudi Harchem Mitzipar. Okay, notice the first one. Lamatzeach. There's something unique about this pasuk in that Lamatzeach is not a separate pasuk. I didn't do a study in the numbers of. When the word Lamatzeach, we have Lamatzeach, Mizmor LeDavid, period. That is one complete pasuk. If you go through Tillim, you'll notice that most of the introductions that begin with words like Mizmor Shir, the Liyom HaShabbos, or Lamatzeach, Mizmor LeDavid, these are usually stand-alone psukim. It's very rare to have, the intro, the Lamatzeach, which we like to commonly translate as for the conductor, LeDavid, then LeDavid, and we have a tradition. Whenever it says LeDavid, it means the David was inspired with Ruach HaKodesh. And sometimes we have Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem. There's always a complex intro to a Mizmor, which there are many interpretations as to did David first receive Ruach HaKodesh and then sang the Mizmor, did David first inspire himself with song and melody, and that brought upon him the Ruach HaKodesh. There's always an elaboration, but usually that whole elaboration is contained in a stand-alone pasuk. And here, this is very unusual. I don't know how common this is, where not only is the intro of the Lamatzeach, the David, in the beginning, but it also includes within the first pasuk an entire theme. It includes a theme, a whole concept, the Hashem and Hashem Chasisi, I put my faith, Eich Tarbul Nafshe, how dear you say to my neshama, Nudi, flee. Your Nudi means to flee. Harchem, to the mountain, Tzipar, bird. They tell me I should, and we'll discuss that in a few moments, the deep meaning of those words, but it is interesting just to take note that this Mizmor includes, within the very first pasuk, includes already a very deep concept, a deep message, a teaching. And that obviously is unique, and it definitely is going to change the dynamic of, in this case, the Lamatzeach and the word Lamatzeach, LeDavid, the two introductory words. Okay, now, the first thing we have to go do is, we have to do it every single Mizmor, is give an overview, what is the purpose of this Mizmor? With respect to what event did David compose this Mizmor? When in his life did he write this Mizmor? What's the purpose of this Mizmor? Did David himself write it? Maybe someone else wrote it? Was David responding to someone? So here, the only one that really says explicitly address the topic on the page is the Malbim. So let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim.
The Tehillim wasn't written in order. It was just
no. Tehillim was. The Tehillim was definitely the collection of Mizmorim is not in chronological order of David's life, and also we have to understand that there were at least ten people. I think that the Chazal say 10 people contributed to Tehillim. David, everything in Tehillim is not only David's. There are compositions that were composed by Adam Harishon, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Levnei Korach. There are 10 other people who contributed to the writing of this Mizmor. Here, of Kalman and of Leza, I'm sorry because we had some problem with the computer. It needs a little more time to boot up. That's why we're in the middle of Mizmor Yud Aleph. Okay, Mizmor Yud Aleph. We're going to get a new computer soon to solve this problem. Apologize for the whole delay here, but right now we're Mizmor Yud Aleph. We're about to read the Malbim on page 95.
You're getting a new Apple?
No, I'm getting a Chromebook for $99.
You should get a new Apple.
I don't need for this. We only. I don't need a computer. I just need a device for to broadcast. It's the simplest device you can possibly get that would be robust for this purpose. That's all we need. We don't need to go get anything fancier than that. Anyway, it'll break in a few weeks. Okay, so here is the issue. The issue over here is we have over here, we always need to discuss what is the purpose of the mizrah. So it's the Marillus. The Tehillim is extremely complex. The order, there are 10 contributors to Tehillim. Who selected which composition will be part of Tehillim? I assume David.
Who was the editor?
I assume David was the editor. I assume that, I don't know if it's true, I assume David, he is the one that packaged it into 147 mizmorim. We have 150, which we know were broken up into different pieces to make it 150 from 147. The assumption is, the default is, David was the editor. He was the editor, he was the compiler, he was the copy editor, he did it all. It's a one-man show, desktop publisher. He did it all, he did it himself, he decided. And he wrote the psukim, he wrote the paragraph, the mizmorim, and he selected from what he had in front of him who he wanted to include in his sefer. Obviously, you could assume for sure there were many, many other mizmorim that David had access to, which probably today are lost, they're gone, they disappeared, which were written probably with Ruach HaKodesh, with no question about it, very holy, maybe even prophecy, but for whatever the reason, David felt that this is not timely, it's not necessary to be preserved for all generations. And what he selected, he felt was necessary for all future generations. And that's what he's doing, him and another 9 people. And then comes what you're saying is very important, the order, that each person, when they wrote their composition, obviously they lived in a different time in history, so there's an age gap, the history of the world. So how come it's not in that order, by age of when they lived? Obviously it's not, for whatever the reason. And even the things that David wrote about his own personal life, why did he put some of them Zmerm earlier in the Sefer and some later in the Sefer? Okay, these are obviously very difficult issues, which I have no idea. Some of the Mepharshim do speak, some don't. And even after you go through all the Mepharshim, we'll just get more and more dizzy, and there'll be so many different approaches and variations. And obviously, ayin panim, the Torah, there are many ideas, and each idea is valid in its own right. Now, on this page, it's interesting, there's almost no one here. Usually, so far, but over here until the first 10, usually we had a little bit of a hakdama. Almost some of the Mepharshim, at least a few, get 3, 4, you'll get on the page, you'll get a little insight, even a one-liner. What is the purpose of this mizmor? When did David write it? In response to what event did he write it? Who is he speaking to? Was he speaking to Klal Yisrael? Was he speaking to Shaul? Was he speaking to his enemies? Was he speaking about Mashiach? Here it's unusual, there's very, very little. The only one that addressed the issue head-on is the Malbim on page 95, where the Malbim says, look at the Malbim, the bottom, towards the bottom, Lamatzeach, the Mizmor Zeh Yisvakach Es B'nei Doroi Asher Toanu Al Emunas HaHashkocha. In other words, before we read the next few words, let me just, it's a continuation of the previous Mizmor. It's discussing Rosha V'toiv Lod. That's the basic gist. It is a continuation of the theme. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the righteous suffer? And here, it's why is this not included in the previous mizmor? There's a very big difference. In the previous mizmor, David is just writing a PhD thesis. He's just telling you what, he's elaborating on what exactly is the essence, the nature of Rosh of the Toivloi, Tzadik V'Ra'alai. How does it work? And David's personal frustration in dealing with this phenomenon. In this mizmor, he's now debating. He's now giving mussar to the people in Klal Yisrael that don't want to accept. They don't want to accept it. He's now, again, the previous mizmor, he is thinking, as Ramayevsky says, he's thinking out loud. What is tzaddik v'ra'ale? What is it? What's Torah Rosh of the Torah? In this mizmor, he is engaging other people in the conversation. He's bringing them into the conversation. What do you have to say? And he says, you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And you have a false hashkafa. and don't make this mistake, don't make that mistake. He's speaking to the people. That is what the Malbim says. The Mizmor Zeh Yisvakach. He is debating. Yisvakach could either mean giving Musar, rebuke, or sometimes what a Yisvakach means, it's like a disputation. We have a debate, a healthy debate. As Bnei Doroi, Asher Toanu, they claim, Al Emunas HaHashkocha, they make a false claim regarding Emunah Hashem, Mima Shehorosha Machtir Esatzadik, the Rosha,
yeah,
Machtir means he reigns supreme. Machtir VaHashem Lo Yaseh Mish, Machtir Mitra Keseh, the Rosha prevails. Why is it that the Rasha prevails upon the Tzaddik? V'Hashem lo yaseh mishpat, Hashem stands at the sidelines. In other words, I already came to terms with it in the previous mizmor. I explained the entire principle, I understand it, but the people in Klal Yisrael, they don't accept it. They don't like it, and therefore it causes very great challenge to our emunah. U'se shuvasai, and here is where David is responding to them. Shebozeh yifchan es b'nei adam, it's a test. David HaMelech is telling the Klal Yisrael that the reason why the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not allow this to happen is Hashem is testing the tzaddikim. She'im hoya ma'anish es ha-rasha tekef. If Hashem were to punish the Rosh immediately, lo hoya makam lebechira ulesachar v'arnish. There would be no place for free will and for reward and punishment. V'hoyu kulam oivdim es Hashem yiras ha-arnish. If a person would do an Aveira and he would immediately be struck dead by lightning, then people would be afraid, people would behave, and a person would not be able to earn reward in the next world. The earning of reward only comes from challenges. It's a very, very, every time a person is all alone, has an Nisayon, or has a situation in life, and there's no one watching, no one's watching, you can get away with it, you can do whatever you want, in any matter, whether it's money, whether it's just davening, midos, and who, whatever it is, that's the moment. That's why you're here in this world. When everything is, you know, easy, you go to a shir, you go to daven this, you do that, everything just goes the way. Okay, so you know you get reward because you put yourself in that situation where you should be able to do good things. But it always happens every day. There are always moments when you struggle. The moments where you struggle, that is why you're here. It's for those moments to make the right decision, and no one knows about it. No one will ever know about it. The only one that knows is Hashem, and that's where you earn your keep in the next world. If Hashem would punish reward immediately, you would never have those moments, and there would not be any reward or punishment. Aval Ali De Shehalim es Hashkochos. Only the Kontrochi Hoyt says, is providence. Bozeh, through this, Yibochanu HaTzadikim, the Tzadikim are tested, Ha'ov Dimes Hashem Be'emes, who serve Hashem with sincerity, Uvazeh Yigdal Sicharam. And that is the message of the entire Mizmah. In one way, and just an elaboration, like Rabbi Tursky, he said, Rabbi Tursky Zech Tzadik Levracha, he wrote, I don't know the number, he published numerous books. Maybe even 100 books. And he said himself, they're all the same. It's not true. You read them all and you've read them all. They're all the same. It's just they have different covers. You know, his message is, it's all pretty much the same. And he brings it out in different ways. Pirkei Avos, Parsha, topics, you know, in stories. No, it's all the messages is the same. It's just different ways to bring it out, and that's exactly what we're doing with Tillim. The next the whole mizmor is going to bring out the same principle: is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing. It's a test. Life is a test. It's an exam. Now we go into the pit. Okay, now let's go back. Let's go back to the pasuk itself. The pasuk itself is a very fascinating pasuk. The pasuk talks about birds. Kan tzipor ki yikorei ka. If you read this, le'on mefarshim. If you read this pasuk with all the mafarshim, and you don't come away with a new parish in the midst of ki yikorei kan tzipor v'shenecha baderech, then you have failed the course. Because there are so many different ideas over here. What does this mean over here? That over here David's enemies say to Tim, David, you're a bird. Why don't you take flight, go to the mountain, go where you belong, go back where you came from. Lamatzech for the conductor, Ladavid, Hashem Chasitin, Hashem, I put my refuge, I take shelter in Hashem, and therefore I'm very disturbed. Eich tarmu l'nafshi nudi, how then do people say to my neshama, nudi, flee? Run away, go away. You push away the bird. Harachem tzipar, go to the mountain, you bird. They're calling dove in a derogatory term, bird. Okay, now we have to remember what the Malbim says. Everything over here is a response to the Rishoim of Tzadik V'Raloi, okay, the response and the Dikuach. But we have to see how the other Farshim at least learn the Pshuta Shel Mikra, and then we'll be able to get a greater appreciation of what the Malbim's idea, how it fits into the Pshuta Shel Mikra. So let's look at the Mitzudah Stavit. The Mitzudah Stavit here says, L'nafshi Eich Tarmu Al. How? He adds in one word to say Pshuta Shel Mikra. How could it be that my enemies, they say concerning Al Nafshi, Har Shelochem Hu Nod Kitzipar. The Mitzudah is translated the pasuk not the way I translated it. He says the word Har means the king. He's drawing from the Medrash, which we'll see soon. Har, I told you, they say to me, go away, go back to the mountain. That's not the way the Mitzudah looks. We'll see someone else who says that. It means Har. The enemies are saying to Klal Yisrael, your leader. The word Har is a metaphor for the leader of the nation. Your leader is unstable, impetuous. He's weak. He is silly. He doesn't have any strength. All of the deficiencies that one can find in a bird, this is what they ascribe to David HaMelech. Har is a metaphor for your leader. Your leader is just a bird. He's a nobody. He's not. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
what?
He
flees like a bird.
No. So that's how I translated in the beginning. But it's not the way the Mitzudas is translating. Let's look very carefully. Very carefully in the Mitzudas. Har Shalochem. He's reading the words backwards. Har Shalochem. Your mountain. Take each word one at a time. Your mountain, meaning, who nod? Nod, it's unstable. Nod is, it's not a command that you should flee. When I translate the pasuk, because the common translation is, it's an insult. Get lost. This pasuk would be translated colloquially as get lost. Two words, get lost. David, get lost. It's time for you to retire. Okay, it's time for you to go. Get. Okay, that's the way, that's the common translation. Mitzudah's David, wrong. I thoroughly, strongly disagree. It's not a command. This is an analysis. Klali, the one who is speaking our enemies, they're speaking to us, to the nation. And they're saying, the Jewish people, to whom do you look up to? Who is your leader? David HaMelech. David is your leader? That guy, he's unstable. He's not a stable person. He's not like a bird. A bird, one day he's here, one day he's there, up and down here and hops around. He vacillates, he fluctuates, he flip-flops. He's an unstable and inconsistent creature. That's who you look up to as your leader. The ideal leader is a person who is firm, is grounded, is predictable, he's stable, he's strong. A bird is the complete opposite of what you look for, the qualities you look for in leadership. Har Shelochem, your mountain. Who is a person that is nod, that is unstable, fluctuates, moves around, kitzipar. Ritzon Elohim.
That's what I said.
Not a command. The way.
I didn't say it's a command.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said that. When I translated, I said it's a command. You, David, nudi, run, get out of here. Get out. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is a command. No, it's an observation. It's an observation. Melech Yisrael is a description. Descriptive terms. Melech Yisrael hu nod b'bnei shol kitzibur hazeh, the king of the Jewish people, hu nod. He's always on the move. He's always running away. He's running away from whom? B'nei shol. Katzipar. So we're going obviously back to the very early time of David's Malchus. When a shol was still holding on to the Malchus, the first seven years, and every time a shol appears, David is running away. He's afraid of his own shadow. B'nei shol kitzibur hazeh hamaydei v'soifah lipol boreshes. And you know what the end's going to be? Shol's going to get him. Shol's going to kill him. David responds. David now says, or the Jewish people respond, how dare you say that? I disagree with you. David responds, it's not so. I'm not a bird. I'm not unstable. And Shaul will not succeed. He will not succeed. I will not fall into his trap. Okay, that's the way the Mitzudah is done. Basically, you have to read the pasuk backwards. Lamatzech leDavid. David over here is composing composition, and he says you have to read the whole pasuk backwards. Eich tayru lenavshi. How dare you say concerning? The lamed here means concerning my neshama. That now here it means the neshama of the king of the Jewish people. Nudi. Harchem tzipor. You have to read these words also backwards. Harchem, your king, is like a tzipor that is nod. How dare you say this? The truth is, and what's going to happen? David will ultimately fall in the trap of Shaul. To that, the response is, it'll never happen. You know why? Bahashem chosisi. That's a lot of fancy footwork there. Okay, we've taken the pasuk, we've mamish butchered the pasuk. You realize how we've butchered the pasuk? Every part of the pasuk has been read out of order. Harchem is a tzibar nudi. And who says this? The Umay Sa'olam say this. And we say back, Ich tolmru. How dare you say that, lenafshi, concerning our neshama. And obviously we're taking the word neshama in a very broad, loose translation, the neshama of Klal Yisrael. David the Melech is the neshama of Klal Yisrael. You know, and the response is, Bahashem Chosisi. And don't forget, this whole thing begins with, Lamna Tseach LeDavid. I mean, we've really taken this pasuk and butchered it like we've never seen before. Okay, that's why Tanakh is very hard. Because it's extremely difficult to read psukim in order. This is not the New York Times. You get wake up in the morning, you get the newspaper, you read the newspaper, you read the words and the sentence are linear. One word at a time. And if one word does not follow from the next word, then I'm not going to read this nonsense. This is gibberish. Gibberish. That's the way when we speak, when we write, our language and our speech is linear. Is a sequence. A, B, C, D. This is poetry. And in poetry, you gotta read the whole sentence. And then you have to decipher it. And understand what we're trying to do. And then see the beauty of how all the words of this puzzle come together in and as an expression. That is so much more sophisticated. And it requires so much more brain power to appreciate the pasuk. And the Mitzvah David O'Reel has done a job here like none other. Now let's go to Rashi. Rashi says, Eich time l'navshi nudi nudi. Zehu dugmas ki gershuni chayoy mehisvech menachlas Hashem. You have driven me out today of my kingdom to lehistapech means to take delight, to take, mehistapech means to absorb the experience of being part of Hashem's nachal. Life is an experience, and a person, when he lives, what he's in essence doing, he's being. I'm not sure I know how to say the word in the right form. The word histapeach means to absorb like a sponge. You absorb like a sponge. Life is an experience. You absorb the experience. I went somewhere, they went to a mass with someone, I know, and the husband made a very good impression on me. They said about this person that when you live life, everything in life was an experience. I'll give you a mushroom. When I go to the Menachem of someone, so I usually go. I don't even take off my coat. I go, I keep my coat on, my scarf on, I sit down, you chill, you know, and I say, how long will this take? 10 minutes, 15 minutes? And you sit down. Okay, let's get this over with. Okay, I gotta do my duty. You go to a mincha. Go to a dinner, a yeshiva dinner. Anyway, I'm not giving any money. So, but they beg everyone, if you don't come to the dinner, you'll never get an aliyah if you don't show up to the dinner. We'll never give you an aliyah, the avla of not at least coming and showing your face. We have some very big donors, and the donors need to see that there are people that actually come to the yeshiva. So you better make sure you come for free. We'll give you a whole meal for free. Because it's important that our big multi-million donors see they're giving to a real place, and this is not just a tax shelter. This is a real institution. Okay, you gotta come. We need bodies. Okay, all right. I'll get it over with. I'll go, figure out the best time to go, to leave, to make your appearance. Unfortunately, many people fit into my category. The many things that we do in life, we just do to get it over with. And then there are people who really live for real. They go to Beis Avel. This is an experience. It's an experience. Forget about the Avel. Forget about the mitzvah, Nichon Avelim. Let's not talk religious talk now. Okay, let's forget about religious. Yeah. Let's just talk about experiencing life. If I'm already going here to the Beis Avel, you know what? Let me do it right. Let me come in. Let me get dressed appropriately. Let me take off my coat. Let me sit down. Take another 10 minutes until finally there's a seat available. Let me sit. Let me listen and not speak. Let me hear what the Avelim have to say. Let me participate in attempting to give them some form of Nechama. And then at the right time, let me say correctly the words Hamokom Yinachem and properly depart in a dignified way. This is an experience. If I'm going to daven mincha, I might as well come a minute early. I might as well, they said very early, and they said by the Levi, they said, he always would tell his children, better 10 minutes early than 1 second late. It's an experience. Experience. Everything in life is an experience. And take advantage. Why should you just view everything as a burden or just to be yotze? Experience it. The word mehistapeach means, there are many, it's a very hard word to translate, this word, I won't spend time on this, mehistapeach. It's a very, very hard word to translate. Like a sponge to absorb, does it mean to, I think the best concept, not the literal translation, is to have the experience of being the Nachala of Hashem. It's a very beautiful pasuk. And David complained to his enemies, why are you driving me out of this experience? This is my entitlement. Hashem anointed me as the Melech. Shmuel came to me. I didn't come to him. He came to me. Hashem anointed me as the Melech. This is my purpose, my mission. It is for me to experience. What right do you have to deny me of my God-given rights? Mehistapeach, and that in this case is, mehistapeach benachalas Hashem, to take delight, to enjoy, to absorb, to experience what I'm here for, and that is being the nachal of Hashem. Now, the main point over here in this, that Rashi's reading is not so much the histapech, which I got a little carried away with, but the word ki gershuni. You're driving me out. What are you pushing me out? Who told you? Who gave you permission to come and push me out? Rashi here clearly says It's exactly what it means over here, the word nudi. Nudi here means you're pushing me out. It is a command. The people here are walking into me, they're coming in, they're saying, David, it's time to leave. Did you see that funny video when Trump when he lost the election? Everyone wants to see the video when he was sitting there like a crybaby and the Oval Office, and he says, Mr. President, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. And he was ranting like a baby, and they showed him rolling him away, rolling him with the desk and the chair. They rolled him away. They put him onto a truck. You had to see this, a hilarious little clip, video clip. They rolled him away. This is a command. Nudi, get lost. They come into David HaMelech. This is not like the Mitzudos. Rashi is learning the word nudi is not a description. It is a command. David, it's time for you to leave. And David says, how dare you say that to me? And there's a parallel to this conversation. Ki gershuni hayoyim mehistapeach benachalas Hashem. You've driven me out. You've entered into my office and you've picked me up and you've thrown me out. That pasuk is describing here exactly what they're telling David to do. David, it's time to leave. Nudi harchem. She gershuni me'eretz l'chutz l'oretz v'chan hu oimer. And here he says, so here he's saying Rashi is getting a little more complex. Rashi is telling us that the starting point of this pasuk is David HaMelech already has been departed. David HaMelech already has left. He's already outside. He's already an outsider. He's already been driven out. And he says, don't worry, I'm coming back. I'll be back. 4 more years. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Shiachzireni lehistapeach benachalosai. Eich toimer atem tardai ilanavshi. How dear eich tardai lenavshi nudi harchem ivri har shalochem. At hatzipar hanodedes, shikol adam amitaltal nimshol mitzipar. Every person that is in mitaltal moves from place to place, he is compared to a bird hanodedes that tatters menakiri from its nest, kidachsif. Just like a bird totters from its nest, so too is a person nodeid. He moves mimukoimoi, sheno dad kinech, shetirad nuch. They have driven you mikol hohor from every mountain, kitsipar hanoidedes, nuduk siv shu nidrash, which is interpreted to mean shu nidrash, af the Israel. It's Nidrash in reference to the Jewish people. The Goyim, they say the same thing to the Gentiles, say the same thing to the Jewish people. Now, right away, Rashi over here has opened up a can of worms. Now, Rashi opened up is a historical fact that the Jews have been expelled from literally every country in this world. America also? Hope not. Where in America?
In 1863, but.
Wow.
The
point to Rashi. Rashi learns that the word nudi is a command.
No, it was
merchant. Rashi here learns the word nudi means a command. Nudi means to flee. Nudi lashon of nud. It's a command to flee, to leave. Harchem, your mountain. This is not, according to Rashi, nowhere does Rashi make any mention that the word harchem means your leader. Harchem means, the leader is the bird, or really there is no leader in this passage. The word tzipor means the klal Yisrael. The Jewish people are compared to a bird. We're the bird, and the goyim are saying concerning our collective neshama.
He uses that symbolism of the bird other places
the Jewish people compared to a bird. That's part of the midrashim of ki yikorei kanitzipar lefonecha baderech. The mitzvah of shalech tishlach esoim, the mitzvah of kanitzipar is part of many of the midrashim is that the tzipar is a reference to Klal Yisrael.
Right.
And when you take away, you send away the chicks and the mother comes back, and the mother sees that the chicks are no longer there, and the mother has enormous pain. What happened to my children? It cries, it expresses itself. And being that the bird is a marshal for Klal Yisrael, when Hashem hears that cry, Hashem remembers that Klal Yisrael is in the same situation. Klal Yisrael also is in Matzav of Tzar, and it contributes to the bringing of the Gula. Okay, that's a Medrash. That has to be understood in its context, what it means, but that's a Medrash, and that Medrash clearly equates the Jewish people to a bird. And that's exactly what Rashi here is doing as well. Rashi here said the word Tzibor is a reference to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are being commanded by our enemies, get lost. Harchem means from your abode, where you live. It's just an expression. Birds hang out, I guess, in mountains, that seems to be saying, is that they don't stick around here too long. You're in one country, leave. You go to another country, leave. Another country, leave. No one wants the Jews. And according to Rashi, this pasuk was prophetic, because exactly what has happened to Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. Klal Yisrael has wandered from place to place. They've never lasted all that long in any single place. They lasted in Poland for almost 1,000 years, I think. That's pretty long. That's a record. I don't think there's any place the Jews lasted so long like in Poland, as right. A major community. In Germany and France, they didn't last that long. Listen, they're hundreds of years in some of these places. Spain also, but not forever. But Poland, they lasted quite a long time. No one thought it would happen. Tach v'tat came, that was the end. Tach v'tat, that was the end of Jews in Poland. And the Holocaust, for sure, that for sure certainly finished them off.
The Yemenites.
Oh, so, but the Yemenites also, how many Yemenites are there anymore in Yemen? How long?
They lasted, I think, till 40 years.
Could be, they did last there. That's why the Masorah, that the Yemenites have the best Masorah. Because the Yemenites never were exiled, so they were able to preserve the Masorah. They didn't fall into, like in America. America, the melting pot, the global village. Today, you know, it's very, very
we
nice.
Found the shul of Morocco in the Atlas Mountains.
Recently, I read this, right.
There was the oldest shul to be made from English
Germany. Yes, there are places, but in America, you know, it's very, very nice when you go into a shul Friday night, even Charles morning, you look around and there's a strimal. And there's a spadik, and there's a kippah suga, a suede yarmulke, black hatters, and everything in the middle. Some guys, some Mizrahi people wearing sandals, no socks. Everything, and everyone loves each other. They really do. They really do. Everyone, like, you don't even think. You don't even think about it. We're all the same. I go to shul, and I go Friday night, and I literally, where I dive on Friday night, around the corner from the Ruach HaTorah, I dive in a little yeshiva around the corner from me called TAB, Torah Academy of Brooklyn, otherwise known as Ruach HaTorah. So they have there probably 75 people. Every stripe of Judaism is there. You name it, they're there. A Mizrahi, a Hasidish, different types. You name it. There's only a few people. Does it even enter my mind to say, uh-oh, this guy, stay away, is a Chaim Berliner. Stay away from him. This guy's a Chabad. Don't go too close. This guy has COVID, stay away. Do I think about that? It doesn't enter my mind. And it doesn't enter their mind. Right? So he says, so beautiful. No, it's not. It's not so beautiful. It's beautiful that there's Achdus, but what has happened to the to tradition? All of our traditions have morphed into the art school center, into the global village. It's beautiful. It really, really is. But it used to be diversity in college, which is healthy, which is special. The mishmaris of the Kohanim, there were 24 mishmaris of Kohanim, and every mishmar lived in their own city, which means that every mishmar, when they came to the Beis HaMikdash for that 1 week to do their service, it was a hostile takeover. They had their own melodies, they had their own minhagim, and they had their own kelim. It's very likely that when Chabad took over, they went into the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. Where is the menorah? We're not using this round menorah. Who snuck away the menorah? Who put it away? You know, they did lachis, that we shouldn't find it. They find it, they take it out, they put the menorah, and they put the round menorah in the basement. Next week, who shows up? Someone else shows up. Bring back the round menorah. And that was good. That was the way it was supposed to be. It was a lechem apanim. Was it round or square? It's machlekes the Gemara. Machlekes. So what mishma we make in our misoira is we make round.
Mishma was from the same town?
No. Every mishma lived in their own city.
But there wasn't a mixture of them?
No. No. This week, New York City shows up to take all the kohanim of New York City, they arrive. Good question. I'm not so sure they let one of them in. And then next week, the Baltimore Chevra, they're coming up. They do things differently. Okay, they have their way of doing. They have a different misoira of how the big day kahuna look. Well, there's only one version of the big day kahuna. The only version is what it says in the article picture book. That's how the big day kahuna looks. That's the only way it looks. Okay, there are other books in the Judaica store. They have different opinions of how it looked. The lechem apanim, how do they bake it? How do they put the menorah on the shulchan? Was it from east to west? Was it from north to south? Every mishmar had its own mesorah. They lived in their own community. And when people would bring korbanos, by the way, if you were a satma chassid, so you would schedule, you would arrange, I'm going to come to the Beis HaMikdash when my chevra, they're in charge. Because I want them to do it my way. I want to do it my Messiah, unless it was an emergency. I got an emergency. I got to bring the carbon right away. I got an chest. Then you'll go. You'll settle for the Tarvadas Chevra.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I don't know when you wrote this law, but it reminds me of when he ran from Avshalom and Shmid ben Gera said, say, Ish HaDamim.
Some of them say that.
Get out of here. Go out where do you belong? You
right.
Come from Moab, go to Moab.
One of the Farshim says exactly that.
And it seems like something, he's talking about this, and maybe he's talking about when you ran from Shaul. I said, my mountain is Hashem, Hashem Hasidi. That's my mountain. He is going to tell me where to be or not to be. Not you guys. What do you know? You know, they say, Moody, just get out. Well, it's not our business. Just get out.
Okay.
It seems like he's mixing here.
No, so, right, he's not being specific to a specific event. Enochanami, Rashi is right. So you're right. So if you look at the Farshim, I saw exactly what you said. You look at the Rid. The Rid says Mizmor Zechi B'David Al Oivav. Okay, just very general. I saw exactly what he said. Avshalom. I saw hold many perushim. Let's just try to find over here who we're referring to. Sipurno, maybe? No. Yeah. The Sipurnos. Eich time l'navshi nudi. Atem Yisrael she nilchamti im umois. No. I saw. What did I just say? Wrong. I saw somewhere that it said beferish Avshalom, and it said. You're right. Achitoyf. Look at this important. Pasuk base. Kinei harasham achitoyfel v'chaverav. So he puts this in reference to the time of David Achitoyfel. Rashi, for whatever reason, is not. The Rashi over here is giving us a very general interpretation, which is prophetic, because that's exactly what has happened to the Jewish people throughout history. They have been expelled from every single country in the world, and the other mefarshim that are limiting this mizmar to a specific episode in the life of David, okay, and Achram, there's what to learn from that. But if you look at this mizmar in a global, in a form of a prophecy of what's going to be, this has been the story of Jewish history, where the goyim, they say to the Jewish people, get lost. This is we don't want you here. You don't belong here, and we have been told to leave every single country in the world. Harachem, your mountain, you think this is your stronghold. This is where you find yourself to be comfortable. Nudi, move along. Get out of here, go somewhere else. Refugees, the Jews are in a perpetual state of being a refugee in the lands of other countries, of other nations. And we're like birds, and the metaphor is we're like a bird. A bird can't sit still for 1 second. Every second the bird, he totters, goes from one nest to another nest, hops around. That, unfortunately, is the nature of the Jewish people. We have been pushed around. Every time we think we're comfortable on a mountain, we found for ourselves a fortress, a place to finally rest. No, we're given the boot. They say nudi. And we're calling the Jewish people with the word linafshi. The collective neshama of Klal Yisrael is here being addressed by David. The world says to the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael, our neshama, get out of here. And what is our response? The response is, take it with pride. Take it with pride. B'Hashem Chosisi. That's a very powerful message. Every time the Jews are told to leave, take that statement with pride, a badge of honor. In Hashem, I seek refuge. You think you throw Hashem will always provide for us a place of shelter. When Klal Yisrael, they were expelled from Spain on Tisha B'Av, the Hashkocha Pratis, the date of expulsion was on Tisha B'Av. What did they do? They left with an orchestra. The Gedolei Yisrael instructed all of the musicians of Klal Yisrael to come out with their musical instruments. And when you leave Spain, you should leave with pride, with your nose raised up very high, even though it was Tisha B'Av, and you're not allowed to listen to music. They played musical instruments when they left Spain on Tisha B'Av in the year 1492. Okay, and why? What were they singing? They were singing this pasuk, the pasuk Lamatzeach LeDavid B'Hashem Chosisi. I take pride. And this maybe to a degree comes to answer our question. We started the show with the question. I think it was before you came online, before the computer had its cup of coffee. We asked the question, if you study Tehillim and you go through all of the Mizmarim, I didn't do this, but I'm just guessing from, I don't know, for some we have a hunch. It's extremely rare where the words Lamnatzeach and the word Ledavid and La Hashem, and the word Mizmar, which is usually the introduction to many of the Mizmarim, is part of the first message or the first concept presented in that Mizmar. Usually it's, go look at the other Mizmar, go pick any Mizmar, just by random, pick any Mizmar. I'm going back over here, let's say Mizmar Zayin. Okay, I'm just randomly looking at the Mizmar. What does it say? Shigyon Ledavid Asher Shol Hashem. Shigyon LeDavid, Asher Shol Hashem Al Divrei Chush Ben Yamini. See, it's an independent statement. Here's a Shigyon, he's giving us a time of reference. And then he goes into the message in Pasuk Beis. We say in Davening every day, Lamatzeach Mizmor LeDavid, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. First you give a whole Pasuk, a Pasuk that tells you this is a mizmar, whether it's a mizmar LeDavid, it's a LeDavid mizmar, maybe a very short intro, what we're referring to. And then, after the introduction, relax, we then begin to discuss the matter at hand. Here, this is extremely unique in the fact that there is no break between Lamatzeach LeDavid and a major theme is being discussed. A major theme is being discussed. The Jewish people are being told to get lost. And our response is, we can handle that. It's okay. B'Hashem Chosisi. And this Mizmar, from all the Mizmarim, we don't separate Lamnatzeach and LeDavid. Why is that so? Because this song is the ultimate song. It is the most common song. It's just... Unfortunately for us, it's just the way of life. In the big picture of Jewish history, okay, we Baruch Hashem had pretty good here in America. Halavai Vaiter, Chaste Hashem. Hashem has been extremely kind to us, but our ancestors did not have it so. Did not have such a pleasant life. They did not have such an easy time. Not even close. If they would come and they would see what we have today, they would be in disbelief. Disbelief in every respect of what we have. Not just the fact that we have indoor plumbing and washing machines. Mm-hmm. Besides that in itself would be something that would be blow anyone's mind. Just those two things alone. Just the fact that Jewish people, they live in a land, and they can be mechutzafim. They can feel that they own the country. They can even have such a hasagas that, you know, I'm an American. How many of us feel I'm an American? We talk about the United States of America. We all say we, us. It's second nature. Us. Our ancestors would never ever fathom saying those words. When they talk about their country, they would say us, our army, our military, our budget, our taxes. They would never fathom to say those words. And we today, you go to the Aguda convention, even the Gedolei Yisrael talk like that. Because we live in America and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been so good to us, we feel very comfortable. And halavai, it should continue. Halavai. But here, unfortunately for the Jewish history, it's not been like that. And this Mizmar is unique in expressing that idea by not even separating the word Lamatzech LeDavid from the song of expulsion. This Mizmar is the song of expulsion. We started today with the Malbim. We have yet to see how the Malbim is going to fit into everything we learned in the Mizmar. We only learned on Pasuk. But the Malbim learned that the theme of this Mizmar is David is having a vikuach, a disputation with us about the principles of Tzadik Varala. Rashi seems to set a very different tone. This is the song of Jewish expulsion. Okay, let's go further in the, let's look over here, and now here, this is very important, this Maamar Chazal. Very, very, I think it's very famous, and there's a lot to be said about this Maamar Chazal, and very, very modern. The Likudei Shas, Midrash HaTanam, the very bottom line, Sech Dov Hashem Chosisi, Eich Taimu Navshi, Ludi Harchem Sipar. Interestingly, none of the Mepharshim on the page touched this, actually mentioned this. Maybe the Minchas Erev. The Minchas Erev does say it a little bit, discuss it in another way. But that also is very interesting, is that itself is interesting, because many times you have something like this. You have a Pasuk, and if you ask the average person in the street, when you say this pasuk, what do you think about? And they're going to tell you something that is a Gemara, and that's very very well known, and many of our inspirational speakers always talk about it. That's why it's etched in our consciousness, psyche. And then when you open up the Mikros Gedolos, and you read all of the basic Mepharshim, the Mitzudois, Rashi, the Radak, the Malbim, Ibn Ezra, and guess what? There is no zecher of that idea that's part of your psyche. It's very disturbing. How come we've fallen so far from the pshat and live in a world of medish? That happens very often. And here's another example. This pasuk over here, when you learn the sugya of David Basheva, this is the only pasuk you're going to hear. This pasuk is people that they say to David, David, you have done a terrible crime. You have committed adultery. You've done the worst crime of them all. Adultery is the worst of the worst. Every politician goes down in that type of crime. So you've committed the worst thing. And this is David's response. David's response is, how dare you say that about me? Kol ha'omer David chata, einai ela toyeh. I've seen some people get so worked up about this. When I was a kid in Young Israel, I remember once such a heated discussion about this. What does that mean exactly? It's a good question, tough question. But here is part of the material, part of the Mamori Chazal that deal with this pasuk. Over here, look at the very bottom page, 94. Bas Sheva Have Kochoy Foresha. Toisei Cholsa. Bas Sheva was on the roof of the building, and she was washing her hair. And now Basheva was really a married woman, she was married to Uriah Hachiti, and a married woman covers her hair. Even if a married woman gets divorced, okay, usually there are very few exceptions, but usually a married woman who gets divorced continues to cover her hair, and that's in order to prevent problems. So Bathsheba was on the roof. She was once upon a time married to Uriah Hachiti, who went to battle, was on the front lines, and Uriah Hachiti gave her a divorce, whether it was an absolute divorce or a conditional divorce. She had to get, but she was still once upon a time a married woman, and a married woman ordinarily covers her hair. The Gemara talks about this. The Gemara has a whole discussion about this, about the rules of a woman covering her hair. Whatever, okay, whatever it is, it is. Havakoch, and here she was washing her hair. And Tosech also underneath a gigas, but she was washing her hair in a refined way, underneath a gigas means a big basin that was used for beer, I think. A gigas, they used a big bowl, a big pot.
A big barrel.
I guess I'm assuming in order to sneeze, no one should see her hair because she was a married woman. So a married woman, she washed her hair. People should not see her. And she was on the roof. What happened? Along come David HaMelech. He goes up to the roof for some fresh air. And David HaMelech, he sees on the roof, he sees flying in the sky a bird. David, let me have some recreation, target practice. Let me shoot the bird, some recreation. Improve my skills, archery skills. Also, something. Why not? A hunter. Esav, Tzayid, I don't know the answer. Yes, indeed. What is David having? David shooting birds. This is not an amusement park. I don't know the answer. I don't know. What was David doing? What?
You can make a pouch.
A what?
A pouch? Yeah, to keep his
bird skin.
He needs the bird skin. I never heard someone use bird skin for anything.
The feather you wore in your hat.
Oh, he wanted it. Now we're talking. He wanted the feather for this hat. Okay, now we're talking. Also, Sutton.
Says there was somebody who was able to shoot an arrow, he had soft earth underneath, and he.
Okay, let's see. So Asa Satan, Idli Le Kitsi Parta. The Satan was in disguise. He looked like a bird. Pisak Begira. David shot an arrow to shoot down the bird. Paska Licholsa. What happened? David missed. He missed the target. A misfire. What did the arrow hit? The barrel that Bathsheba was underneath washing her hair. The barrel shattered. What was now exposed? Bathsheba's beautiful hair. David saw the beautiful hair. It's nichnaspo yetzahara. Yetzahara. Paska. I'm reading what it says over here. There are other Mamari Chazal that may say other things. Enochinami. I don't remember. But over here, it's this Chazal. Paska lecholsa. He missed. David missed. What do you learn from the story of Bathsheba? Make sure you have good skills. Don't miss. That's the lesson. The lesson is, when you go to yeshiva, they teach you how to shoot. Make sure you get good practice. You shouldn't miss. If David would not have missed, this whole story wouldn't have happened. David would have all these problems.
David Hebel was a master of the slingshot and bullets. He was a master shooter.
If he only knew how to slingshot.
Sutton came and caused.
Stick to your slingshot. Don't take up new skills unless you know what you're doing. So therefore, what happened was Pascha lecholsa Paul pagachetz begigas ushavara igalia. She was exposed. The chozye dot. And the story continued. The Gemara. He saw her. The yetzar went into him, and then he called her. Then he called the servant. Bring her to me. The chulu. Dora Ashrava, all of this is hinted to in this very passage we learned today. Dora Ashrava, my dichsev, lamatzeach, ledavid b'Hashem chasisi, eich chayim ulun afshi, how dare you say that, my neshama, how dare you say, nudi harchem tzipa. How dare you say about my neshama these three words? Nudi harchem tzipa. Omar David lefnei ha'lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Riboyna shel Olam, mechol li al oisa avayim, forgive me on that sin, shelo yoimu, so people should not say har. The Medrash is the Gemara is interpreting the word har similar to the way the Mitzudos David today has interpreted the word har. Har is a metaphor for your melech, for your king. Har, ha-melech shabuchem, the Satan, that's Nidma as a Tzibor, the word Tzibor here refers to the Satan, Nidatu caused David to fall off his perch. So we go back and read the part. The part over here says, according to the Medrash, this is a plea. David HaMelech here is begging Hashem for forgiveness. David here is admitting that he has committed an Aveira. Let's put aside the Gemara. Put that away for now. In this pasuk, David is confessing, I have done an Aveira. I have done an Aveira.
If you do tshuva, doesn't make it, wasn't no Aveira?
There's different types of tshuva, the tshuva me'ava, the tshuva me'yir. Just because it says that a person does tshuva me'ava, it's nasa leki zuchuyos, it doesn't mean the sin was never done. It doesn't mean the sin was never done. Okay, it just means that the sin has now been transformed into a merit for you. Does it say anywhere in Chazal when a person does teshuva, it's completely wiped off the record like it never ever happened? You're going to rewrite history? Does it say that anywhere? It says if you do a teshuva me'ava, the aveira is for you now a merit. But it doesn't say that there was no aveira.
But you also don't, I'm not allowed to say, oh, I remember you.
Mr. Cohn, could you maybe close the door or outside? I think the door is open and a cold air is coming in. It's getting some of these things at the drift. I don't know. I think it's from outside. It could be outside. The door outside is open.
Sometimes they have a class.
I don't know, but it's still cold. It doesn't lock it out. The cold air comes gushing in the open. They keep the door open. Yeah, we have to read the pasuk, it's entirely the new approach of the pasuk. The subject of the pasuk is David HaMelech. It's not Klal Yisrael, it's just David. And David here is coming to beg Hashem for forgiveness. And he's saying, if you're not going to forgive me, people are going to say about me. This is what they will say. It's not a statement of what they are saying.
I know, that's what happened.
They will say about me, they will say that Harachem, your king, Har here means your leader, similar to what it said in this David, Tzipor, a bird, just a little bird, is the cause of your king, of your melech, going down the drain. Who's the bird? The bird was the Satan in disguise. It caused David to shoot an arrow. He missed. Instead, he hit this barrel. This woman was exposed, and that led him down a very bad path. It's the tzibur that caused your har to be in a state, to be nudi, to be pushed down the cliff, to be pushed off his perch, his pedestal. Hashem, please forgive me, so the umay sa'olam, the world, we should not say this about me. It didn't help very much, obviously. If we're sitting here today and we're saying this, obviously, if we're saying this, it did, obviously, to a degree, you know, it's still here. How can you allow the whole world to embarrass me, to say about my neshama that a little tzibor caused the king, the har, to be pushed off his pedestal of greatness to such bizyonos? Because Hashem, I beg you forgiveness, because in you, Hashem, chosisi, I take refuge. I acknowledge my mistake, my error, my chet, and I come to you. And to this, that I have the ability to come to you, Hashem, and ask forgiveness, is something to sing about. It's a lamnatzeach l'David. Because in other religions, and in other, you know, false religions, of course, and in other, in the mid of Melech, Bosa, Vidam, when you make a mistake, you're fired. And it's over. And there's no repair. And there's no teshuvah. Look at the Sar Ho'ofim. The Sar Ho'ofim, he allowed something to get into the bread of a splinter to get into the bread of Paro. That's it. They hung him up on the tree. Over. There's no solution. The fact that a person has the ability to come and say to Hashem, Hashem, I made a mistake, and you, Hashem, chosis, and therefore, please, Hashem, don't let it be said about me, Eich Taimu L'Nafshi, that Harchem, Atzipar Nudi, that your mountain was pushed off by a little bird, pushed. He caused such a chorban. I made a mistake. Forgive me. This is what I'm here to sing to you about Hashem. Okay, so maskana, what we do today? Today we gave a double hakdama to the safe, to this mizmah. The hakdama of the malbim. There's going to be over here a vikuach, a disputation between David and others regarding tzaddik v'raloi. Number two, we have the perush of Rashi that this is a song of expulsion, Jewish expulsion throughout the ages. And then we learned a third interpretation of this pasuk from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. It's a reference to David HaMelech himself regarding the mice of Bathsheba. All right, I'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about two Bishvat.
The Peros
to
Bishvat in the back, the
apricots, and... Yeah, for taking care of us and bringing Simcha to us with the Peros of the Zayininim of Eretz Yisrael.